Today on Real Radio.
That's the heart that God wants in the ministry. A heart that can deal with people. Why? Because we ourselves struggle with our flesh. Our spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. But our rejoicing is this, that God has called us. He's faithful. He's blameless. He's holy. And so we can draw our strength from Him.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're looking at the first of these two New Testament canonical letters, and it is sometimes referred to as one of the pastoral epistles, or letters to those called into the ministry. Today, we look at part of chapter 3, where we find a list, as it were, of personal qualities required of an overseer of God's people. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in this mini-series called Qualifications for the Ministry.
1 Timothy chapter 3, as we continue our study together. In this book of encouragement, this book really of sometimes correction, as God would have His church know how to conduct themselves in the world and in the church. It really upsets us as we see the things taking place. And a lot of people sit back and go, well, there's those Christians again, ripping people off. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people have either a soapbox that they yell from or a TV ministry that they preach from, and they're not godly at all. There's a sad and sorry representation of Jesus Christ and of His Word. And yet, by and large, the world judges the church by what they see. By what they hear on the radio, by what they read in their newspapers, they come to a conclusion, that's what Christianity is, huh? And yet, not only do we have to deal with non-believers and their skepticism, which is okay, weren't we all there at one time anyway? But we've got to deal with, quote, the church who has sorely misrepresented Christ. And none of us are perfect, and none of us are going to be perfect. But one thing I want to bring to your attention as we are studying 1 Timothy, and as we've gone through part of the requirements last week, and we'll go through them this week, as we look at these things, we begin to maybe feel in our hearts, you know what? I'll never be a pastor. I'll never be a deacon. I'll never be a nothing. It sounds like you got to be perfect. And that's not the case, people. A lot of believers and unbelievers have this concept in their minds that you got to become perfect before you can be a good Christian or to even become a Christian. And that's not the case. We need to come to Christ with our heart just as it is, giving it to Him. And here's the difference about being in the ministry for God and not for yourself. Where is your heart? And that's what Timothy, the book, and that's what Paul's writing to Timothy is all about. Where is the heart of the man or of the woman of God who's ministering in the church? Makes all the difference in the world. And so why don't we pick up where we left off last week in 1 Timothy 3, and we'll start reading at verse 3 over to verse 13. He is the pastor, not to be given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside or non-believers, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, and not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be proven, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. And likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children with their own and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. We can become so swallowed up by these mandates that the Holy Spirit, in putting together the Bible, has laid out to us. We have to be careful, and I want to encourage you. Because as I was studying for this, I tell you, I felt like putting on my Reeboks and running 100 miles from here. I mean, when you begin to search these things, your heart begins to say, oh God, I can't do this. I'm failing miserably. And as I took myself on my own personal study this week to pick my own heart up and to get refreshed in the Word again concerning these things, I was extremely blessed, and I hope it blesses you too. The positive thing is this. It's God who has called us. He calls us to the ministry. He will sustain us in the ministry if our hearts are right towards Him. And that makes all the difference in the world, people. I want to share with you a few things. Number one, in 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says that God is the one who is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, but God is faithful that has called you, and He will do it. And we need to consider also who God is. God is the one who's blameless. God is the one who's temperate. God's the one who's sober-minded. God is the one who meets all of the needs. In your bulletin, under the words to the wise, it says John 3:16 to 18 this time, and it's signed Pastor Jesus. I left my words out. Because Jesus is the pastor. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. There's none better. And that's encouraging to us who want to be involved in the ministry. Maybe you are thinking now, well, you know, I love this church. I love this people. Pastor's a little weird, but I love the people. And I want to get involved here. And the precious thing is, God sees your heart and you go, that's great. And he reaches to you and, come on, kiddo, you know, get involved. Be an usher. Be the street monitor, you know, out there. And then the old split hoof comes walking up. The enemy whispers in your ear and says, but you're not perfect. You're to be blameless. And I tell you what, your heart is to pursue being blameless. There's nothing in your heart that's malice at all in your heart. You want to follow Christ. It's your greatest desire. And when you trip up, it grieves your soul and you repent. First of all, that's a sign of being alive spiritually. That's a good sign. Second, that's the heart that God wants in the ministry. A heart that can deal with people. Why? Because we ourselves struggle with our flesh. Our spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. But our rejoicing is this, that God has called us. He's faithful. He's blameless. He's holy. And so we can draw our strength from Him. And the other thing that we need to focus on as we go through this study is that He's the giver. In Psalm 138:8, the Bible says, the Lord will bring to pass that which concerns me. He'll bring it to pass. And we don't have to get in the flesh concerning the ministry. Charles Spurgeon says, he who has prayed much has studied well concerning pastors. Well, you know what? When you're young and starting out, you've got every kind of book in the world, and you should have all the commentaries that are good that are available to you, and you should study. But there's a step of faith, and there's also a discipline that when you come in to the pulpit, you need to be prayed up. You need to have the Word of God in prayer going forth to the people, not some other man's thoughts or some other man's ideas, though they are beautiful men of God that have gone on before us and penned beautiful things. God wants to speak to us. And so this calling is a very holy calling. And we need, I tell you, in prayer time this morning, we were at the ministry team were together. We were together this morning praying for the service. And you know what? The thing is this. We are so grateful to God. Salvation comes from God. To me, it's hilarious that God would allow us as people to minister his salvation to people. Isn't that incredible? He's going to use mortal men to share the gospel to mortal men. And God has taken an incredible step of faith, if you ask me, to let man even handle his Bible, you know? It's so incredible. But here we have before us the examples of the heart, how the man in the ministry's heart ought to be. And this doesn't surprise us because people in Nehemiah 9:8, it speaks of Abraham. God says to Nehemiah concerning him, you found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with Abraham. Why? His heart was faithful towards God. King David, the Bible tells us that his heart was after God. He had a heart that's after God. When I was in the world, I had a heart after a lot of things. Man, I was after the girls, or after the drugs, or after this, and after that. And boy, I want one of those cars. And I was never happy. Until God, it's incredible how God puts up with this. And I tell you, God comes into your life, comes into your heart. He changes your heart. He puts within us a new heart. And David had that heart after God. And then Solomon, in 1 Chronicles 28:9, it says, and you, my son Solomon, David speaking, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him wholeheartedly with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands the motives of the man. Very serious. And so God wants us to have a pure and beautiful heart. And then finally, this guy by the name of Josiah, the king, beautiful man, and under him a great revival broke out to God's people. And Josiah, it says in 2 Kings 22:19, because God says your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard your prayer. And so we can talk about religion till the cows come home, literally. But without the relationship within the heart, we will be dead religious people. One teacher put it this way, the heart of the ministry is the ministry from the heart. And to do anything otherwise is to be dead, is to be cold, and to be religion at its worst. And so we pick up our study there in verse 3 of 1 Timothy 3. He says to those that are bishops or overseers or pastors, not to be given to wine. That word in the Greek means wait or linger at the cup. You know, kind of like you see a guy walk by the bar and he walks in there and he takes his little pastor badge and puts it in his pocket and kind of, well, takes a drink, kind of moves back and forth. Kind of like a little, I don't know, like, you know, have you ever seen those bees flying around honey? Just kind of going around, flies around your head, bites your hot dog or whatever it is and goes back on the honey and just kind of moving around there. That's what that word means. He's not to be given to wine. He's not to be waiting at the cup. I tell you what, I don't have a problem with the Bible. I have a problem obeying the Bible because I have a problem with my flesh and my immaturity. But I tell you, it says that he's not to linger at the cup. Personally, I think it'd be good not even to touch the cup. And I'm not going to lay that on you. It's my personal conviction. And I'll tell you why. If you're a minister of the gospel, you may be sharing with somebody who's an alcoholic. And they want to be delivered from that wretched thing. But you know what? If you're over here at, you know, the Bebop Inn and you got your brewski out in front of you and you're praising the Lord, you know, and there's my pastor. Yeah. Hey, man, come on. You know, have a seat. You know what? I'm not going to judge you, you know? You're not to linger at the cup, okay? Well, maybe you're not lingering. Maybe you're just having a little wine with your spaghetti. Hey, you know, that's fine. But, you know, I can't do it. I can't because everywhere I go, I wind up bumping into somebody. No, that's not the reason. That's not the reason. No, really. It's not. I hate wine. I used to love beer before I got saved, but I don't do it. I can't. Because you know what? Here's the reason why, and it's the reason why you won't either. It's Romans 14:21. It says it's good neither to eat or to drink. Now, I might stumble some of you by the way I eat an In-N-Out double-double animal. It may bother you. So pray for me, because I can't break myself of the habit. But it's good neither to eat or drink wine, nor anything by which your brother has stumbled or is offended or is made weak. That's the bottom line. In everything. If you have a hard time, if you're a vegetarian and you want me to go to lunch with you, I'm not going to eat meat in front of you. I'll have a salad. That's cool. Why? Because I love you. And I don't want to bum you out. And we need to be sensitive. The pastor's not to be given to wine. Not to linger long at the cup. Or, I think it's wise not to touch it at all. And let Romans 14:21 be your guide in that. And so he goes on to say to us that he's not to be a violent man. He's not to be violent. That's a very interesting word. It means, maybe your old King James means says in there, striker. Now, I recently heard of a pastor and a deacon who duked it out. Can you imagine? Laying hands on one another? That's sad. You know, that's sad. But the pastor's not to be a duker. Or a striker, or a boxer, you know? He's not to be a violent man. And might I say this to people? We need, in this day and age, we're pretty, you know, cultured, even though, you know, we don't have to be a Christian. You don't go around and punching people these days. It's not cool. People think you're an idiot. But you know what people do practice, even in the church, and it's sad, is that people will kill one another with words. The pastor's not to be a violent man. Well, you know what? What's he saying with his mouth? What's he saying behind the scenes? What's he saying when he's out with somebody? Is he vicious with his words? Is he vicious? Is he a striker? A couple of years ago, we were at a wedding in Anaheim, and I wasn't pastoring. But I tell you what, I was sorely convicted by this verse. We were at this wedding reception, and there are these two drunks that were in the party, in the wedding party. And there was a little lady who was the maid of the hotel, and she was cleaning the bathroom. And these guys pushed her aside. They tore her sign off. They were saying, "Get out of my way, you stupid." And she was of a certain, ethnic background. They railed on her about that, and I snapped. I had my little girls with me. Oh my! I felt, guys, ladies, you don't understand this, but you know, guys, that rage that comes up inside, and it got right here. And I know when I'm in trouble, big time, because my hearing goes out. I can't hear anything. No, I'm serious. It goes deaf, and I knew I was in trouble, and I knew I needed help, because these guys, I was gonna just duke these guys. And I went up there, and you know, you do the guy kind of thing. You know? And I'm not kidding. Thank God he doesn't answer all our prayers. I was saying, "Oh God, let him hit me. Lord, let him." I was just going to mutilate these two guys because of the way they treated this lady. And God says, in my heart, not to be a striker. And I went, "Oh. Cheap shot, God. Cheap shot." And I tell you, you know what? Before that day was over, I went by one of the guys and I said, "I was sorry for how I had acted." I still wanted to punch him, but God busted me. The pastor's not to be a violent man. He's not to be a striker. And by the way, not with words as well. It goes on to say there in 1 Timothy 3 that he's not to be greedy for money. I like this. Have you ever seen those cars or those businesses and it says not for hire? To enter the ministry for bucks is to become a hireling, is to do it for the money. Gee, maybe I can golf. Gee, maybe I can get a, a $5 million home and a yacht like Robert Tilton. You know, maybe I can own a Lear jet like Fred Price and Kenneth Copeland. I'm going into the ministry. Hot dog, here we go. Hey, you're not to be for hire. When God calls you to the ministry, pastors to be, your heart needs to burn. Not so much for the office, but for the burden of the word of the Lord upon your heart, like Jeremiah burned with it in his heart. And Paul said, man, I can't keep silent concerning the gospel. You need to give it to people. And I tell you what, you don't become a pastor or you don't enter the ministry and then start doing it. It will naturally begin a natural outcropping of your life to share the word of God and to minister to people. God will see to it. But it's not to be for money. And in fact, if there's anybody in here with that kind of attitude, the way America's going, we're all going to be broke in a couple of years. And God's going to need more ministers than ever before if the market falls out. Because people are going to find God in their poverty. And the very fact of the matter is, we need to have hearts that are right toward Him. And that goes not only for those who occupy the pulpit, but for every one of us as Christians. You guys will soon, you already do, but soon you will bear the greatest treasure to the world when the market of America crashes, because it's not over yet. And you will have the gems and the jewels to knock on your neighbor's door and say, do you have Christ? And for the first time, maybe in your ministry to them, they'll say, I don't have anything. I'll take them. And Jesus, he's going to start rescuing people in a radical way in the days that are ahead. And we're all going to be called into the ministry. And it's wonderful. 1 Timothy 6:5, he says, men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such people withdraw yourself. I was listening to the radio this week. If you don't send God's money into God's ministry here, he's going to go broke. The ministry's going to fold up, and you wouldn't want to do that to God, would you? Send your money. Listen, send your money anywhere else but to the people that ask. It's wrong.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, addressing the issue of personal qualifications for those called into positions of watching over a local body of believers of God's people. It's a look at Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 3, a mini-series called Qualifications for the Ministry. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if Real Radio is making a difference in your life, let us know. Either call, click, or write. When visiting us at realradioactive.org, just click on where it says Send Us a Message. Here's one from Robert. It says, Pastor Jack, I just wanted to say thank you. I'm a relatively new believer, and your daily teachings are helping me to become the godly man Jesus wants me to become. Your in-your-face, no-nonsense approach of teaching makes me believe that's how Paul must have sounded. Thank you, Jack, for helping me more than you'll ever know. As a result of your program, I now have the courage to witness boldly the gospel of Christ. I'll continue to pray for you, and God willing, we'll meet in heaven. Preferably sooner. Well, thank you, Robert. You see, it doesn't take very much. Simply get in touch, again, by clicking realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click where it says Send Us a Message. You can also get an example of what others have written by clicking the tab that says Reaction. If you'd like to get in touch with us by telephone, here's our number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number, by the way, 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. If you'd like to do it the traditional way, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.